Well, praise the Lord, everyone.
It is so good to be back with you tonight and feel the presence of the Lord. We always enjoy your worship. We always enjoy to see. Yes, please. We have some handouts for you to take. I think I have 40, but you may have to share a little bit there, 35 or 40. But we're going to be talking about tonight. The first night that we were here, we talked about the power of your story and how that it opens doors. Tonight we're going to talk about the power of the Word of God and how we can share the Word of God and how the Lord wants to use every one of us. And then Sunday we're going to talk about receiving the Word of God. It's one thing to know the Scriptures, it's another thing to believe it. If you believe it, you're going to step out. And also at the same time, the importance of the family and how that we can get so involved in ministry and forget that we have a responsibility at home. And God wants to use us to do that. So that's next week. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look at Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11. Amen. Sister, amen, opened up with the scripture tonight. And I thought she was going to preach my sermon, and that would have been fine. She did great. But we're going to look at Isaiah 55 tonight. I thought about taking the handout that I have and have fill in the blank. Some of you folks that got to fill in the blank or do something, but I said, no, Brother Greer, that's too much work. I'm an old man now, so. But we're talking about the power. Everybody say the Word of God. Again, Isaiah 55, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Here's the key. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return. Everybody say not. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Hallelujah. If we were going to try to talk you into going forth and just teaching any old lesson or some philosophy or idea, there'd be a lot of hesitation. But there is some tremendous power when you go forth and share the Word of God. Yes, sir. Amen. And it's a privilege and an honor to be able to do it. And we hope to convince more of you today that God wants to use you in this area. Let's look at a couple things about the Word of God. The Word of God is eternally settled in heaven. Amen. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then Isaiah 40 and verse number 8, it says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. How many are so thankful for the stability and the strength in the Word of God? And then the scriptures tell us that this word is unchangeable, reliable, and will never fade into oblivion. Amen. Luke 21, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But it's more than just a something that's motionless or powerless. Amen. It's the living word. It is a dynamic. It is powerful. And Hebrews chapter 4 said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. There are so many times, I'm sure, the preachers that are here, you've preached a sermon, and one person came up and said, you were preaching right to me, and pointed out something, and then someone else said, you're just preaching right to me, and it was something totally different. And was it because the preacher was so good? Well, you do have good preachers here, but it's the Word of God that speaks and touches our hearts. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And this word of God has creative power. In Psalms 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. They're still trying to discover, amen, the wonders of the heavens up there. But we've got a God, hallelujah, that knows each and every one of them. Praise the Lord. And it talks about how in Hebrews, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. The word of God took nothing and put it into something in the earth. Hallelujah. And it's there today and it's going to be settled there. Why? Because God said so. Hallelujah. He knows not only all the stars, but he calls them by name. Hallelujah. That's the God that we're serving today, and his word has creative power. But also his word has the power to sustain that which was created. He doesn't create and say, well, you're on your own. Good luck. No, he doesn't do that. Notice what Hebrews says. He who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. He created it, but he upholds it. It's consistent. It's there. And so we go back to Isaiah 55 that we read, and it says, my word shall that go forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's promising that when he sends forth his word, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes his will, and it always prospers everywhere he sends it. And each of us have an opportunity to present this word to the world that's hungry for something like that. Why don't we lift our hands and just thank him for that tonight? Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, what a privilege it is, oh God. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor today. About 35 years ago, I was talking to an evangelist who was preaching at a church. I believe it was in Indiana, and he was preaching a two-week revival. And unbeknown to him, there was a college student that was attending a local college and attending church there when she can get away from her studies. And she was so excited about what was going on. And she had made some friends from other students in the college, and they'd get together and talk about what's going on. And they knew she was a Christian. They knew where she went to church. And she said, you can't believe what's going on in our church. We're having revival. Well, what do you mean revival? We've got people being baptized in Jesus' name. We had someone get the Holy Ghost speaking in another tongue. We had a blind lady who was healed, just started telling them, they're going, you need to come. And she go, oh, okay. But that's so exciting. And so she'd tell what had happened the last couple nights, and she'd go to church that night, and her friend would go to the bar and hang out with her friends, and had made some friends with the bartender, and they'd be talking, and he said, well, what's new with you? Oh, I've got a friend that goes to that Pentecostal church. Well, what's going on down there? And she'd start repeating everything that she said. She'd quote some scripture. She'd tell what's happening, and the bartender's just wiping the bar and just listening. A couple nights later, he sees her. So what's going on? And he'd say, well, you wouldn't believe Sally, my friend. And again, she's inviting me to this church, and you wouldn't believe what's happening. And the preacher preached this and just went on and on and on about it. Are you going to go? No, I don't think I'm going to go. But the bartender's just rubbing the bar and just looking around. And that, for 2 weeks, that went on. And the final service, it was Sunday night of the second week, and Sally was so hoping and praying that her friend would come to church. But just as the music started, the front doors opened, and in walked the bartender. Amen. And he sat down in the pew and began to see what's going on and felt the presence of the Lord and heard the word of God. And before that service was over, he had repented. He'd received the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. When he came up out of the water and got changed finally, and he walked out and he said, "Is Sally here? I need to know who Sally is." And she goes, "Well, that's me." "Well, you don't know me, but you know," and mentioned their friend. And amen, she's been telling me all about it. Thank you for telling her and telling me about this experience that I've got today. Praise the Lord. Amen. God promises that when he sends his word forth, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes his will, and it always prospers wherever he sends it. Hallelujah. You may teach a Bible study and nothing happens there, but God's word will not return void. It will accomplish what he sends. Let's clap our hands unto him and praise him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're talking about the holy word of God. We're talking about the precious word of God. Praise the Lord. And so, as you follow your notes there, what do we need to do in a Bible study? I want to give you some practical stuff. Amen. The first thing that we have to do is we got to prepare ourselves. Everybody say, prepare yourself. Before you teach a lesson, you must spend time in prayer. I love what Mark chapter 6 verse 7, Jesus has been working with his disciples, but notice what it says. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Sometime later, these were the 12, 11 would become apostles. But sometime later, he sent out 70. And again, I want you to preach the kingdom of God. I want you to preach repentance, preach the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm giving you power over unclean spirits. I'm giving you power over all sickness. Amen. But there's a very interesting thing that Mark says, and he called the 12 to himself. Amen. Before he anointed them with power and authority, before he sent them out to preach, amen, they made sure that they spent some time with him. Hallelujah. Amen. They learned how to pray. John chapter 11, verse 1. They baptized people. Amen. When Jesus is there in John chapter 4, they were an integral part of the many miracles, amen, that Jesus performed. Remember the 5,000 men plus women and children? It was the disciples that set them all down in groups of 50 and different groups like that. And then they made their way to Jesus, and he took that little boy's lunch and prayed, and suddenly started handing out the bread and the fishes. And it was the disciples that just kept it going. You know, where's this happening? You got to talk to him. He's the miracle worker here. I'm just the messenger. I'm just someone that's helping. Hallelujah. He's the one doing the work. He's got the power. And they just were amazed that everybody, 5,000 men, women, and children, amen, were fed. Hallelujah. Even all the teenagers got enough to eat that day. And the Bible says that when it was done, amen, Jesus said, okay, collect the leftovers. And they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. Amen. I don't think it was a coincidence, because there's 12 disciples. And God said, you've done a lot of work. I'm going to bless you for it. You cannot outgive God. You cannot do too much for God. He's going to bless. And so they understood that. But when the time came, Jesus said, okay, guys, I'm going to anoint you with power and authority. I want you to go out two by two. He told them, the disciples, you're to stay in Galilee area and only preach to the Jews. And the 70, you go expand in Judea and that area, but just to the Jews. And they come back saying, even the demons in hell are subject to us. And we saw miracles and everything. Amen. But before all of that happened, they had spent time with the Lord. Amen. Time spent in prayer and study before a lesson is never a waste of time. Amen. Now, Now, what do we do in preparation? Well, first of all, you want to be familiar with the lesson, and you want to be able to teach it without using the manual. I knew a guy that would go, and he'd just read word from word for the manual. And they didn't last 12 weeks because they got tired of it. Just give me the manual. I'll read it at home, you know. But no, but you want to have a familiarity with the word. If you've got the chart and you want to put different scriptures, write it on there. That's fine. Amen. You're not going to read every scripture anyways. You don't have time. You'll give them a list. Hallelujah. But you want to be familiar. You want to be spiritually sensitive to the needs of your students and to the atmosphere that's in the house. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is God's word, and this is God's time. Hallelujah. I'm just the messenger. Hallelujah. Just like the disciples brought the bread and the fishes to the crowds, and they were fed. Amen. I'm just presenting the word of God. Hallelujah. All the glory, all the honor goes to him. Hallelujah. How many are thankful you know the name above every name? How many are thankful you got the power of the word of God tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so exciting when you are sharing the word of God with someone. Then the question under B is, who do I teach a home Bible study to? Well, that's where prayer comes in again, to lead you to spiritually hungry people. Amen. I don't know. I didn't see any, Brother Greeley, but when I pulled in tonight, I didn't see any skid marks where somebody was dragged out of the car by the neck. And they're just scrambling. I think everybody that's here tonight and everybody that comes on Sunday, you're here because you want to know more about God. You want to feel the presence of the Lord. And very, very often, God's going to lead you. It might be a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, someone you have a relationship with, and suddenly the door opens. Or it might be a non-believer who's going through a crisis and they're looking for an answer. Hallelujah. We don't have a what as an answer. We've got a who is the answer. And I want to tell you about Jesus and share the word with him. It might be a guest who has attended church at least a few times. That's where my wife is connected with people and taught Bible studies to many people doing that. Or it might be a new convert, someone that's come and got the Holy Ghost and they need to do that. And I would suggest you check with the pastor before you do that. Amen. He's looking for people. They are looking for people to teach home Bible studies. You just make that connection. Amen. And together, united, amen, we're going to be a vessel in God's hand and allow his word and his spirit to move. Hallelujah. And then where do we teach the Bible study? Well, first of all, you want to make sure that it's a place that's semi-quiet. Amen. Now, I go to Panera's. I like to teach it at Panera's. We've had folks at our house. I've gone to other people's home, but Panera's kind of a neutral place, and I choose the location, get there early, find a booth off to the side or somewhere, and it's amazing as we open the Bible and begin to teach how many times people come and make a comment or ask a question about it, you know, but it's quiet. We've got control of the situation. And if you're in someone's home, review the surroundings and suggest the location, you know, let's go to the dining room table over here. How about the kitchen? We'll sit around the table. You're looking for a table or something and you want them to be comfortable. If people are uncomfortable, their minds will be on their discomfort and won't be on God and his word. So you're going to kind of take control the situation, smile, and let's do this. This is the easiest way to do it. More comfortable, okay? And then free of distractions. Amen. Make sure small children and pets are taken care of in another location, if at all possible. Bring somebody with you that would watch the kids or see if they'll have someone take care of the kids or make sure the pets, you know, you give them a nice doggy treat and then send them out in the backyard or whatever you got to do. But you're trying to get rid of distractions. Hallelujah. And make sure those that are taking the Bible study are not cooking meals or answering emails or talking on the phone or watching TV. That might be their normal modus operandi. When they have folks over, but this is more than a social visit. Amen. This is more than just some friends getting together. We're devoting 45 minutes to looking at the precious word of God. Amen. The same God that created the world has given us his word to lead us and to guide us. And I don't want anything to distract us. Is that all right? And that they may not understand, but you're trying to explain to them. Hallelujah. We've got 45 minutes. I just want you to discover something that's in this Word of God. Amen. I read the Bible through every year, and there's not a year goes by that I don't find something. I didn't know that was in there. Where did that come from? Amen. But I was ripe. I was ready. I was needing that. And boom, the living Word of God came out to ministering to me. And that's what I want you to experience too. So let's turn off the TV. Let's turn off the stove for a little bit. It'll be all right for a little while. Let's get rid of all the distractions. Hallelujah. Put the phone down. Don't answer the email. Amen. You don't need that advertisement anyways. It's just spam anyways. Just put it down. We're going to get in touch with heaven today. Amen. How many believe you can get in touch with heaven today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then you need to assume leadership of the study. You know, you're not being condescending. You're not just being harsh. But if you're not in control, that nothing's going to be accomplished. So you remind yourself, what's the purpose? Again, it's more than a social visit, more than a time to debate, more than a question or answering sessions. They have a need, whether they know it or not, and you have the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Now, Brother Cornwell, who is district superintendent, is it Nebraska? No, it's not Kentucky. Is he in Kentucky now? Okay. But he has won thousands of people to the Lord through home Bible studies over the years. And I was watching one of his videos, and he says that there's not a narrative, a story, an incident in the Bible that's just put there for no... God had a purpose for everything. Amen. And many of those stories address... the personal bondage of the people that you're teaching. Something is going to reach out and connect with them. And so you want, I made the mistake one time of talking about, we're going to try to get through this part of the study right away. You know, there's a lot of facts and figures and all that. And I really was rebuked by the Lord and said, what do you mean? We don't need to go through this. Whose word is this anyways? And okay, you're right, Lord, you're right. And so I just listed some of them. What are some of the lessons, the bondage? Adam and Eve, they believe what Satan said more than what God said. Whew, some people are going to hear that and feel it. Cain rebelled against the command of God, but in contrast, Abel was obedient. Amen. Why? Because of the Lord had a specific way to offer a sacrifice. How about... in spite of the corruption and violence around him, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't care how wicked our world gets. You can still make a connection with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can still find, amen, safety and security, amen, and peace with the Lord God. Tower of Babel, it represents the fallacy of man trying to work out their own salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to follow the Word of God. We've got to obey His will. And then Lot lost out. He was consumed by greed and ignored the immoral lifestyles around him in spite of what's going on. Hallelujah. We're going to talk more about this Sunday, but in spite of what's going on around us, amen, the Word of God is powerful, and it will bless your ministry. It will bless your family. Amen. You can have, amen, a barrier of all around you. Your home can be a place of security and a place of love and safety. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Paul is talking about the impact that Scripture has on people, and this is what he said, 2 Timothy 3, that from a childhood you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do not believe the lie that, well, I'm going to wait till my kids are old enough to make their own decision. No. No, no. As a child, you have learned. As we're sharing the word with so many other people, amen, make sure that you realize your responsibility to help save your family. God, I'm going to do what I can that my kids know the scriptures also. And then he talks about that the impact all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. He will equip you to teach a Bible study. He will equip you to lead a ministry. He will equip you to not only lead someone to salvation, but then to disciple that person and do what God wants you to do. And so how does that happen? Well, as you're teaching the study, you must be sensitive to the promptings of the Lord. If you recognize, this is a key, this is something that Brother Cornwell said, if you recognize that they're ignoring God's convicting power, I mean, one of those, something has just hit hard and you see that, you're sensitive to that, well, they're not ready. I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to keep after them. I'm going to teach the study, the rest of the study. They're not ready for a change, okay. In the future, they will be ready. Then they'll ask for another study. I'm not going to get antagonistic. I'm not going to get harsh on him. I'm going to let the Lord work on him. Deb and I taught a Bible study, 35 years ago, something like that. I don't know. And there was, that's good for you, Dave and Deb. But, you know, he had all these excuses lined up. 30 years later, they come to us with problems in their life. Amen. And we are able to share the word of God. And amen. Today, they're both repented and been baptized in Jesus' name, filled in the Holy Ghost, living for God. Amen. And what didn't work 35 years ago, but the word is still powerful. And they never forgot it. And when they were finally ready, amen, you're able to step in. We didn't burn any bridges the first time. Bless God, you sinner, you got to get right with God. No, we just loved them and shared the word and was excited, and God did the work. Okay, so everybody say, well, how do we begin the study? Well, first of all, you pray. Wow, that's pretty good, Bishop. That's what you do. You pray. You know, can we just bow our heads for a minute and let's pray and ask the Lord to bless his word as he's touching our life today. And then take a few moments to get connected over time. Amen. You just ask him some questions if you don't know much about him. People are pleased when you talk about them. Have you found that out? Amen. I talked to a guy one time for an hour. He came in for advice, and I said hi, and I said goodbye, and that was about it. And he talked for an hour. And when he was done, he said, thank you, Pastor. You've been a big help to me. And all I did was listen to him talk about himself, you know. Amen. But you ask about their family, their marital status, their children, grandchildren. Inquire about work, life experiences, hobbies, interests. You're not being nosy. You're simply showing genuine interest. But you're looking for something that you have in common. Hallelujah. I love it when I'm talking to another papa and we start talking about our grandkids. Hallelujah. Oh, that's exciting time. Praise the Lord. Or talking about fishing or talking about some other things. You're looking for something, amen, that you connect with. That's exactly how the Apostle Paul lived his life while evangelizing around the world. He was genuine with everyone, never pretending to be someone that he was not, but always trying to make a connection. Amen. Let me read this and notice what he said. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I was not subject to the law, I did this so I can bring to Christ those who were under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles, he acts a different way. Amen. He says, I don't acknowledge ignore the law of God. I obey the law of God. But when I am with those who are weak, I share in their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. What's he saying? I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. Hallelujah. You say, Brother McDonald, what in the world is he talking about? If you knew Paul, amen, he came from, they think he was come from a very wealthy family. He was a Jew, but he had gotten Roman citizenship, amen, and his parents had money so he could study under the feet of Gamaliel, and he began to rise up. He had political power, amen, religious power. Some think he was a rabbi. He called himself, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. Some think he was on the Sanhedrin court for a while. He had the status and wealth and connections in that realm, but he also had connections on, because later on when he was on the missions field, he spent a couple years as a tent maker. There was no fancy robes and no letters of introduction. He's sitting on the ground with some of the other tent makers, just making tents and talking to people, encouraging them and sharing the word. And during that time, he got to know, he'd be making the personal tents. It was a Roman army garrison that was there. And so they'd hired him to make a personal tent for each one. And he got to know them. He could joke with them. He understood them. He can relate to him. Amen. He was no longer in the core of the Sanhedrin. He was no longer up here. He was no longer those with money, but he could relate to them. And guess what? Later on, he's preaching the gospel. He's thrown in the prison. He doesn't come in and saying, do you know who I am? Do you know what letters I have? No, no. He began to talk to these guys like he had talked to them in Ephesus. And pretty soon, it's not only soldiers, but it's people in Pilate's courthouse and Pilate's household and different ones. What's he saying? Everywhere I go, I'm trying to make a connection with people. There's no big eyes and little U's. I'm doing everything because I want, by any means possible, to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to do today. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can relate to them. We're not going to sin with them, obviously, but we're going to connect with them somehow and let them know that God loves you. And amen. And through your obedience to his word, you're going to find some things that you never knew about the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, at some point, you ask about maybe their church background. Have they attended church in the past? What experience have they enjoyed? Have they heard of Pentecost? That's exactly what Paul did. Remember in Acts 19, we're not going to take time to read all of that, but he comes to Ephesus and finds some of John the Baptist's disciples and starts asking questions. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we didn't know there was any Holy Ghost. Well, then how are you baptized? Well, John baptized. Oh, okay, now I know where you are. And then he starts preaching to them about Jesus and sharing the word. Hallelujah. It wasn't long before, amen, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, and he laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so what do we get from that? Amen. We get is that when we're talking to individuals and we find that their experience, amen, we don't run down their church. Amen. He may be unhappy with his church or his preacher or his religious friends, but he's going to be insulted if you start making fun of him. Amen. And then you don't run down any church. There's so many positive things that we can say about God and his word. We don't have time to talk negative about somebody else. Amen. Oh, you've got this experience. Awesome. But there's more. Let me tell you what else God has in store for you. And you're excited and you're sharing scripture. Hallelujah. And then God begins to do what only God can do. Anybody want to teach a Bible study? Oh, yes. Lord, help us. Amen. Now, when he first got to Ephesus, there were, it was easy. They got 12 men and they were ready. They were primed and they got the Holy Ghost right away. But But that wasn't Paul's whole idea. He wanted to build from that and reach out to the whole area. And so Acts 19 says he went into the synagogue, spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And then he got some opposition. Okay, there's plenty of places. So he went to the school of Tyrannus and Acts chapter 19, verse 9. And amen, they began to get some opposition. So they went to the school of one Tyrannus. And then I love Acts chapter 19, verse number 10. It says, and this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all, everybody say all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. No podcasts, no internet, no mega churches. Amen. None of that stuff that was going on there. But all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, it didn't say that every one of them obeyed the word. It didn't say they all repented and were baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. But they all heard the word. This word that's creative. This word that's powerful. Amen. We do what we can do. And then God does what only God can do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Jasmine Smith, who has written a book about teaching a home Bible study, this is what he said. Lessons are not meant to be memorized and preached, but to be studied and discussed at a pace determined by the participants. Amen. Now, you got 45 minutes? Well, I'm not going to finish this first lesson in 45 minutes. That's okay. We'll come back next week. We'll finish it up. Amen. Do you understand what thou readest? Do you understand it? Don't feel pressured. Leave room for questions and conversations. Amen. And you'll not always have the answers. And we're going to cover that in just a minute. But that's okay. Amen. What happens if they ask me a question? I don't know. Don't fake it. Don't just come up what you think. Just say, that's a good question. I'll get back to you on that, you see. So people who are interested in knowing more about God and His Word will be excited to discover things with you and grow alongside as you study together. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you, amen, that, oh, you can't do that. You're going to get embarrassed. No, I'm just going to give them the Word of God. And if I don't know the answer, I'll find the answer, but I'll come back. Amen. And then he goes on to say the difference between a boring Bible study and a life-changing one often comes down to the questions you ask. As a preacher, I just want to preach. But I have learned that as a Bible study teacher, a home Bible study teacher, I got to get them involved in the discussion. And so I'll ask questions, and he puts it down in four different areas. Observation. What stands out to you about this? What do you think about this? Or interpretation. What do you think the author meant by that? Or application. How does this truth apply to situations that we face today? Or reflection. Has God ever done this for you? It gets them thinking. It gets them talking. It gets you to understand where they are and what's really bothering him. You see, and so you're asking open-ended questions, and you're inviting stories and vulnerability and real growth. And you can say it right at the beginning, but we're going to go through this. If I ask you a question, we're going to send Tame Ty for that. But if you have a question, write it down. And at the end, we have 15, 20 minutes. We'll answer those. You don't want to start out answering questions when you're halfway through your point, and suddenly you're on a rabbit trail over here, and it takes you forever to get back there. You see? And so write it down, and we'll get to it later. And if you know that question is going to be answered next week or 2 weeks from now, hey, listen, it's going to be covered next week. Why don't we continue this lesson? We'll get back to it. Or don't read all the scriptures. Amen. It's the Word of God. But one guy tried to read every scripture. It took him 2 hours. And by that time, the folks that were interested in the Bible study were yawning and checking their watches and said, well, we got to go to work tomorrow in school, so it's been nice having you. And they never had another study again. You know, so don't read all the scriptures. Give them that list that comes and they can look it up themselves. Hallelujah. And finally, let's be real. Leading a home Bible study isn't always smooth sailing. For example, again, the fear. What if I don't know the answer? Well, from what I've observed and what I've seen, this is the number one fear. And here's the liberating truth. You don't have to know everything. Everybody just take a deep breath. You don't have to know everything. Amen. Amen. You can say, that's a great question. Amen. Why don't we dig into that and we'll connect sometime this week and we'll go over that. Or I'm not sure, but I'll research and share what I find next week. Or let's look at this scripture. Here, let's look to the Word of God. And amen. Humility builds trust faster than having all the answers ever could. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have the answers, but He does. This is His Word. We'll find it. And then, well, Pastor, what if one person dominates? And again, this happens more than you think. And so you begin to share, smile, kind of chuckle. Thanks for sharing, Johnny. I'd love to hear from someone who hasn't spoken yet. Or that's a great point. Johnny, what do you think about this? You know? And it's always good at the beginning of the lessons to say, let's make sure everyone gets a chance to speak here. We're all working in this together. But we need to remember that we're teaching the Word of God. And His Holy Spirit will empower us as we teach it. Brother Dyke, do you? Josiah, come on up here for a minute. I was so anxious to meet him. He is talking about starting a club in school. What's it called? P7? Okay. Amen. This is awesome. Amen. And you mentioned it one time about maybe teaching a Bible study or trying to share with the kids at school or something about the Word of God. And how do you feel about that?
Nervous,
yeah. I think every one of us are nervous here. And we may look at ourselves and say, I'm not ready. I can't do it. You know, but I think you have a better chance of relating to the kids in your school than this old man does any time of the day. Right? Maybe, yeah, I think so. But you have something that they don't have. You've got the power of the Lord on your side. Amen. And we see him, and maybe he's nervous, and maybe somebody's saying, well, he hasn't studied enough, or, you know, he better wait a while. But God sees something different. Let me give you an example. Go ahead and kneel right here for a minute, all right, and just pray. Let's just pray for a minute, all right? He knows that he can't teach the Bible study by himself. Amen. And the devil's going to try to convince him, amen, that he's just not good enough, he's not worth it. But as he's praying, amen, the prayer that God wants every one of us to pray, suddenly he begins to lift his hands and begins to worship the Lord. So go ahead and do that. And guess what happens? That as we worship and as we praise him, hallelujah, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his saints. And suddenly he is feeling the power and the presence of the Lord. Remember when God sent the disciples out and God sent the 70 out? Amen. They didn't feel confident at that point either. But he filled them with his Spirit. Amen. He gave them his authority over the demons in hell and over sicknesses. And suddenly this young man right here is feeling the power of God. And so he stands to his feet. And if you look at the scripture, it says, amen, in Ephesians chapter 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's he saying? Paul is saying that when you pray and you study, hallelujah, and the Spirit of God comes and gives you boldness, this. You can pick up the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Just hold it. Why don't you stand down there a little way and kind of flex that a little bit, all right? Don't hit anybody with it. Amen. But hold it with two hands and just kind of swing it a little bit. That's what the Lord sees when somebody walks into a Bible study. That's what the devil sees when somebody walks into a Bible study. He's anointed of God. He is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's got the sword of the Spirit, and victory is in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory is in the house. That's what God has in mind. Hallelujah. So let's all stand tonight and let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. It's possible. Amen. You can have revival. Hallelujah. You can be used of God. You can let the Lord touch you in ways you never thought possible as you go in. Hallelujah. To that school, or you go in to that Bible study. Hallelujah. With the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Would you clap your hands one more time? Go ahead, hold it up there, brother. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I'll take that back. Yeah, take the... One more picture. Here you go. I got the whole video, so I'll send it to you. Amen. Yeah. Ready to go. Let's sing to the Lord right now.
Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will.
Oh, who can stand?
Who can stand against the King?